Cedric Muhammad.
Let me tell you something that happened to me one day. I was up at Capitol Hill. I was in the press room in the Senate press gallery. And I saw, I forget her name. She's the newscaster, one of the reporters for NBC. I forget her name. Let me put the camera on me so you can tell I'm not lying through my sunglasses. What was her name? I got to find her name anyway. Anyway, we were sitting in the Senate press gallery up in on Capitol Hill. And I saw a gentleman, a cameraman for NBC News, Caucasian gentleman. He was just sitting there. We were killing time. I was waiting for somebody to meet me. So I asked this cameraman, I said, why is it that when I watch NBC, ABC, and CBS nightly news, and this was about 6 years ago, I said, why is it when I watch the nightly news that I can't differentiate between the shows because they all have the same headlines? Like if you watch CBS Nightly News, ABC Nightly News, NBC Nightly News, I don't know how it is now as much, but about 5 to 10 years ago, they had the exact same story, sometimes in the exact same order. So this cameraman looked at me. He said, lawyers control all of that. He said, you can't get a report onto a nightly news broadcast without the lawyers vetting it. You got a little bit of a hint about this as it related to Michael Moore. Michael Moore, he talked about how he knew his facts were in order with the movie Capitalism, A Love Story, because the amount of vetting that lawyers had to do for the movie studio to approve the movie. So this cameraman for NBC News is telling me lawyers control what goes on the news every night. That's why you have the same stories coming out. That was his explanation to me. He says there's a group of small lawyers in New York City that are, you know, a bit of a hidden hand as it relates to what gets on the air and what doesn't, for various reasons. Of course, obviously, lawsuits are a major concern. So I just read to you some of the law firms advising on the Comcast NBC deal. Y.O. Goschel and Mangus was the New York law firm advising GE and NBC Universal. They used about 30 lawyers. If you want to tell young people who controls what, don't show them some ignorant rapper. Stop it with the thugged out rapper who has a gun but he doesn't have a gas mask. Tell them, dear young lady, young man, the 30 lawyers who advised GE and NBC Universal on the merger with Comcast are real ballers. They're the real shot callers. They're the real gangsters. That's who Jay-Z's talking about when he says we run. What's that song? We run this city, where we run this town. That's what Jay-Z was talking about. You misunderstood. You thought that Jigga was talking about him and 50 Cent. No, he was talking about Wild Goschel and Mangus, Davis Polk and Wardwell, Gibson, Dunn and Crutcher. 79 lawyers, 3 companies, 1 deal. That's what Jigga Man meant. We'll be right back. Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program. That's right. You got a problem with this beat right here? I'm dancing up in here. You all know I have listeners from all over the world, friends. Today is the 48th independence anniversary of Tanzania. Did you all know that? All you Pan-Africanists out there. It's my Dar es Salaam family that's tuning in Tanzania. It just gave me a gentle reminder that we must salute Tanzania. Let me throw up the image of one of our greatest leaders. And for those of you that don't know, I am a member of the African Union's first Congress of African Economists. And I'm currently working on a book that goes into detail on the economic convergence of Africa, the unity of all the 53 countries of Africa, somewhat similar to what happened with the European Union. But this is more complicated. Let me give you the image of one of the leaders of Africa who I think created the atmosphere and was a visionary. Unfortunately, in the physical presence, not able to enjoy this at the fullest level like most of us or our children will, God willing. But take a good look at the screen. Let me zoom in on him. When I was coming up as a young man near Rutgers University, my brother went to Rutgers and I used to visit. There was a school called the Nyerere Institute in New Brunswick. The Nyerere Institute, named after this man. Now, when I have my friends from Tanzania, I refer to this great leader, founding father of African unity, and actually the birth 48-year independence anniversary of Tanzania is actually a unique example of African unity. But I think I may save some of this for Seducation, hour number 5. But Tanzania's founding president, who we call Julius Nyerere, well, my friends in Tanzania, that is unacceptable. It is Julius Kambaranga Nyerere. And there's even a first name that I can't pronounce, another African name. Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, Tanzania's founding president. Let me give you a little taste of that article in the Citizen Daily newspaper in Tanzania. It's called "The Gains and Pains as Mainland Turns 48. Analysts say corruption and gender inequality are among the problems that need to be addressed. As Tanzania mainland marks its 48th independence anniversary today, several commentators have acknowledged that commendable achievements have been made through the country, although the country still faces many socioeconomic problems. A number of experts interviewed by the Citizen said yesterday that though the country had made remarkable strides in almost all the key areas, it could have done better had it not been for poor leadership. Well, damn, that's like everybody. I mean, everybody say that. So just hold a small place in your heart for Tanzania today. Okay? Let me read your comments. They've been coming in. John Q, fight fan that John Q is from Detroit, Michigan, says, "Cedric, I came in late and I don't know if you've commented on the fight of the year, Paul Williams versus Sergio Martinez. What are your thoughts?" Well, let me put the camera on me, John. Let me bring down the great Julius Nyerere so you can look at me. John, take a look. No white tee. I'm no longer wearing the white t-shirt because of the devastation that was put on our leader, Paul the Punisher Williams, on Saturday night. Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey, one of the best that ever did it. He's checking in. I see you, Cam. And John wants to know, what do I think of Paul B. Farrell's statement that Obama is leading us to a depression too? On Market Watch, I have to look at that, give you a comment. The great Stowell Fulton, one of my brothers, known for a long time. Peace, Rue. Brother Stowell showing support. He says, "I have season tickets only because of Allen Iverson. Only because AI came out and my niece and her husband wanted to go. The 76ers had been courting me since I had a partial season ticket plan 2 years ago. I only spent the money to support AI, and the cost was reduced for good seats. Also, if you can, please join our Facebook group, the Black United Fund of New Jersey. Also, I need to get your books. I'll check your website. Peace." And I'm also checking in on Wyclef. Now, that is Brother Stowell, my man. That's his way of saying, "Look, Cedric, you have a great show. But we're here listening because we want to hear Wyclef." Thank you, Rue. I will join the Facebook group for the Black United Fund of New Jersey. Inshallah, I will do that this week. Now, Cam from Paterson, New Jersey, has a comment on the Comcast NBC deal. Says here, said, "Most of this hinges on one technology in particular, the internet-enabled television." Cam writes, "The technology isn't perfected, but once it is, you can remove the computer use or user from in front of the computer and sit him down in front of television. Newer TVs have a USB and FireWire connection, so converting the viewer can work. This technology is at the same point cable television was in the early 1980s, and now look at HBO and the like. On demand is the attraction. As people get busier, this becomes more necessary. Excellent post. Yes, this internet TV, what is going on? I hear Apple's been working on it. I hear everybody's been working on it. I believe it's already made. I believe the technology's already been made available. Behind the scenes, that is. But let me chop up part of what Cam is saying. Now, some of you that are Comcast users, you know that the Comcast box that you probably have has a USB connection in the back of it that doesn't work. Now, I had this broken down to me by the brothers and sisters at Comcast. They explained to me how there was initially a USB cord, and you can see it on some of the Comcast digital recorders. There's a USB cord in the back of a whole volume of cable boxes that don't work. It was a blunder. Anybody up on this? This is major. This Comcast-NBC merger. I'm going to run back for you the NBC News report again. Listen carefully. I thought NBC News did a great job of announcing their own deal. Content is what distribution platforms want. It's what Vevo is all about, the new music video channel platform. The record labels felt that YouTube was not making enough money in charging advertisement, so the record labels themselves strong-armed YouTube into getting down with Vevo. So now YouTube's technology is powering a video channel that Sony and Universal Music artists' videos will now be featured on. I believe it does add value. I think it will do well if a few things are done. And I wrote about this at allhiphop.com. I hope you all are reading my hiphoppreneur column every week at allhiphop.com. A lot on the line. Yeah, once they, Cam is right, once they can develop this internet TV and you don't have to sit in front of your computer or a phone, man, it's going to be a whole new ball game. When do you think they will finally release that technology?
Parent company General Electric is selling NBC Universal to the cable TV giant Comcast. CNBC's David Faber has been covering this story all along and reporting on it for us today. What a pleasure to report on our own shop, as always.
Always interesting, yeah, indeed, Brian. You know, it took 9 months of negotiations, but with a 51% stake, cable company Comcast has agreed to take ownership of NBC Universal, ending General Electric's 20-year stewardship and likely changing how you get your entertainment.
It's a $30 billion deal that creates the largest entertainment company in the U.S. Already the largest cable provider in the country, Comcast has more than 23 million cable and almost 16 million online customers. Comcast wants to grow by offering more programming on demand on both platforms. And they'll get that programming from NBC Universal.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you very much.
The country's oldest television network, with a legacy of programming on more than 200 affiliates and a dozen cable channels, including MSNBC, Bravo, and USA, will join with Comcast's own cable networks.
This company will have, if not the best, a fantastic suite of cable channels, each a multimedia brand, each growing, and we're very excited today.
This is Jason Bourne.
But the icing on the cake for Comcast? The movies. With NBC Universal's movie library and new releases, Comcast could bring hit films right into your living room or computer on demand.
The windows could shrink between the time you see a movie in the theater and the time it's offered on TV or on video on demand. And that will change the economics of Hollywood.
But he doesn't.
And with NBC Sports and Comcast Sports Channels, the new company hopes to rival sports powerhouse ESPN.
Comcast is going to push this for the viewer to be the king, to have that in their clicker hand, the ability to watch anything they want, anytime they want it. So appointment television is over.
It will take months for the deal to win approval from regulators, and some critics fear when it's done, it will bring higher costs for the consumer.
This deal means you're going to be paying more for your cable bill, more for your internet bill, and you're going to have less access to local, independent, and diverse programming on your cable and internet channels.
Well, so far, Comcast has promised to keep 75% of its on-demand content free to subscribers. But the company also says it wants to be in front of the parade when on-demand becomes viewers' first choice. House Judiciary Committee Chair John Conyers has announced a hearing on the deal, saying there will be heavy public scrutiny. Brian.
And this is the first regulatory test for the Obama administration.
Yes, it will be. And for a new FCC, of course, as well.
All right. David Faber on this story.
Oh, you all thought you were getting away from Aura. R. Kelly will not go away. I could play you such songs as Banging the Headboard, Go Low, or A Whole Lot of Kisses, but this is a day of social solidarity. This is called Religious, off the new R. Kelly untitled album. Can R. Kelly stage a comeback?
Got my back, shelter me from my enemies. Shed my pain, even when it was all because of me. Make me throw up both my hands and say, oh, it's something religious about you. I want to testify, it's something church about you. I just want to tell.
Yes, that man said there's something church about you. Queen Janine is in the building. Janine from Hartford, Connecticut. She says, peace, beloved, said. As always, dropping the best concise economic analysis. I watched the Paul Williams fight. It is an instant classic. I would love to see a rematch. Pac-Man versus Money May is on. Who you got? Mayweather will stop Pacquiao in the 10th or the 11th round. But Janine, we are in mourning. Paul Williams got beat.
Because of you, girl, I repent and change my thuggish ways. Gotta clear waking up extra early on Sunday. And you always.
He said, I repent and change my thuggish ways.
That's why I say, it's something religious about you. I wanna testify.
It's something church about you.
And I just wanna tell the world
that you're my girl.
Ooh, 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 oh.
It's something religious about you.
I can't put my finger on it, but
there's something church about you.
Gonna tell it everywhere I go.
You made me better.
Hey, hey,
this is forever.
Just say
the word.
I remember,
girl, it's whatever.
When I was trapped, you were the key to set me free. Out on the street, hey. Baby, you rescued me. I call
you.
Now, I don't want you all out there running around trying to use lines like that on a female you may be interested in. There's something church about you. We will know where you got it from.
See, I know there's something about you.
You're turning to the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Atlanta, Georgia! Greensboro, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Tampa, Florida, Miami, Dallas, Texas. I don't care where the city is. When you know
Cedric Muhammad
is in town, ooh, things are taking place.
Man, they're hot today, huh?
They are.
You see, life is greatness, and greatness is what you make out of, you understand? Ladies and gentlemen, one moment. Take a look at it. Learn to love it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be yours for a long, long time. Woo! Woo!
Got it?
Woo! Woo! Style! Go fight it.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Done too little, too late to improve the labor situation. On my left, But hardly on the left is CNBC contributor Tony Fratto. Tony, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Tyler.
Do you think the administration regrets the time back in February, March, when they were campaigning for the $787 billion stimulus, that they said they thought unemployment would stay in the 8% range and that this job summit today is part of playing catch up for that?
I think so. I think that has been it's become a political problem for them. I think it was foreseeable also. Now, they would say that they made those predictions before they knew that the recession was as deep as it eventually became. But I think anyone who has paid attention to recessions and when job creation returns could have said that the job market was not going to return this year, that it was going to be, it was going to take longer. And I think that's what they're seeing right now. So today is kind of an effort to sort of reset that discussion for them.
Sue?
And Tony, what can they do about that now? We're anticipating that perhaps we're going to get an employment report that is better than a lot of people expect tomorrow. Does that change the scenario for the Obama administration, given the fact that they can then claim they're doing the job summit, the employment situation is getting a little bit better? Does it change the dynamic or not?
Well, better is really a relative thing, Sue. You know, we know that we're going to get a job report tomorrow that it's not going to show large job creation. And before the unemployment rate comes down, we need to be creating a net plus of over 120,000, 130,000 jobs a month. So we're still a long way from that. It does give them a chance to at least talk about ideas. The problem is, as John Harwood discussed earlier, is that the resources to deal with those ideas are exceedingly limited right now.
Hey, Tony, you know, I hear criticism of President Obama for focusing first on health care reform rather than job creation when he got into office. But government could do a lot more on health care reform to change it. Can government do much, really, to create jobs?
No, government can't. You know, you're going to hear ideas out there about the government actually going out there and paying people to work. And the problem with that is, from a long-term perspective, it's just not sustainable. The government cannot continue to just hire and subsidize workers. You need to generate growth in the private sector to do that. The problem the private sector is having right now is they're looking at a very uncertain future based on the policy outlook from Washington. You've got huge regulatory changes, healthcare changes, energy policy that's being proposed. And if you're an employer out there, the cost of hiring that additional marginal worker is going up, and you're very uncertain about what those costs are going to be in the future. So you're holding off and trying to eke out productivity as much as you can. We saw that in some of the productivity numbers this morning.
Tony, very quickly, voters go to the polls in less than a year. The political stakes on this are incalculably high, correct?
Yeah, not just for the elections that's going to happen in, you know, next November and the lead up to next November. We know the unemployment rate is going to be elevated at least 9.5, if not still in double digits by the time they go to the polls. But more critical for the administration right now is the sentiment in Congress and how that affects their legislative agenda. It makes it much more difficult for them to go forward with health care and energy, but also their deficit reduction plans. You see that coming under stress right now, where members of Congress are talking about ways to spend some of the TARP money. The TARP money, the administration
was counted on earlier today, saying that some of the unused TARP money should go immediately to jobs creation.
Exactly. And I can tell you, Tim Geithner and Peter Orszag and Larry Summers really wanted to use that money for deficit reduction because they see the threat of fiscal deficits.
Tony, thanks very much.
Thanks, Tyler.
Back to you all in Englewood.
He's saying Congress is dysfunctional. Why not go this route?
Well, I thought if we were facing the kind of crisis situation that we were when TARP and the original stimulus were enacted, that would be one thing. But I don't think we're facing that. I think we did enact the stimulus. The money isn't. There's a lot of money still to come from that in the pipeline. I think we've only spent about a fourth of it so far. The unemployment rate is coming down. I think that there's a case for, let's wait a little while. Why not wait until after the president submits his budget in February? Why rush to act this minute? It just, you get the feeling it's like you put on an old jacket and found a 20 in your pocket that you forgot about, and you feel like this is free money to just spend, and I'm worried about that.
Cedric Muhammad.